In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends in Christ, while Jesus was beaten up in the room in the house of the high priest, Peter was denying Christ below three times in the courtyard. This is truly one of the lowest points Peter found himself in. And he broke down and cried bitterly afterwards, realizing what a dreadful act he had just committed. The only other occasion where we see this determined and resolute apostle fall apart was when he hypocritically, from one moment to the next, shied away from the company with the non-Jewish Christians. And the apostle Paul rebuked him for such a display of hypocrisy, which, if not stopped in its tracks, would have been a serious impediment to the free course of the gospel in the world. For Peter was misleading non-Jewish Christians to think that not faith alone, but the Jewish customs and ways, such as circumcision or dietary laws, were actually prerequisites for their salvation. This apostle Peter, who comes across as the sturdy, bold, outspoken, yes, sometimes even brash person, handed down to us Christians the most succinct and appropriate confession: "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." This apostle so vehemently defended himself against the Lord's prediction of his denial. And so sadly, he stumbles and he falls to the standards that he was so convinced of keeping. In the history of Lutheran dogmatics, this story represents the victory of the Lutheran faith over papacy. There is a certain glee, yes, perhaps a sense of vindication among us all, is there not, as we see the papal claim of infallibility topple over with this very story of Peter's denial. But stopping there and using this episode as a weapon to unravel the mistakes of others would obviously miss a good portion of the story. For it sheds light on the vulnerability and the proclivity of all us humans that we share here with the apostle, and as we live our discipleship under the grace of God. Peter's infallibility should not really come as a surprise to us, for it unfolds before us the human story, yours and mine. Although we are all clothed in the spiritual armor against the evil flow and against our own flesh, these forces still manage to penetrate right through us and pull us down and away from our Lord Jesus Christ. In the commentaries, we are told that Peter, as a Galilean, was recognized by the maid of the high priest by his accent. Personally, I do not fault him for having one. But had he perhaps spoken a little more like those of Jerusalem than someone like from Galilee, this maid might not have detected Peter's true identity and induced him to this denial. Peter's accent started his downfall. It was his sibboleth rather than his shibboleth. It would not allow him to pass undetected, but it uncovered his identity, much in the same way as the accent of the fleeing Ephraimites from the men of Gilead. But at issue here is not really just the matter of how we pronounce this or that word or this phrase, but the actual content, the confession itself. Unfortunately, like Peter's life, our life as Christian vacillates also between the sibboleth that gives us away as sinners and the shibboleth that truly reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. What causes our fall from discipleship are many factors: the fear of scorn, ridicule, persecution, or sheer carelessness or spiritual negligence. But Scripture reminds us of this: that one day we will have to give account to our faith for every word that we speak and every confession we make at Judgment Day. For in Matthew, Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." In the letter to the Colossians, Paul advises us on the true shibboleth, the standard set before us by the Lord himself. "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Rather, you should let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom." And in the 8th commandment, "We shall not bear false witness against our neighbors," Luther explains that we ought to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. And in the process, if we should invoke a curse, Jesus demands, "Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." There is, however, one certain impediment that will fall between us and the properly pronounced shibboleth that we as Christians should do. It is our tongue. In the letter of James, we hear the words of warning: "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, this man's religion is vain." Though this tongue, this organ, is so small compared to the entire body mass that we possess, it truly is like a small rudder steering a huge ship. The Apostle Peter, and both you and I, must acknowledge the painful insight the Apostle James gives us here. No human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. But while Jesus Christ demands these high standards from each of us, he also gives us the gift to accomplish them, his Holy Spirit. With him and through him, we are leading as children of God a life in forgiveness and a life in sanctification, so that our tongue may utter the proper Christian shibboleths, such as uplifting conversation with one another, prayer, praise and thanksgiving, songs and confession, pronouncing forgiveness and to request forgiveness for ourselves, to strengthen, to warn, to correct, and to comfort one another. Such talk befits us well as Christians, and through it, Christ is revealed to others. Such talk is not, according to the letter to the Ephesians, unwholesome talk coming out of our mouths, but that what is helpful for building up according to their needs that benefits those who listen. From this kind of language, people will recognize the true discipleship. So may the Spirit of God keep us in this confession and lead us to speak out loud and clear, not with trembling, but with the joy that we already have a life in Jesus Christ through faith. Amen.